And also the microwave radiation, that's really been the last 20, 25 years. We've been starting to be inundated with this. And I'm 62, and I can recall being back at school, and we had very, very few of the kids at school had chronic health issues. You had a couple of guys that might have an asthma inhaler after a run around the paddock. But generally, there weren't the chronic health issues. And I would challenge anybody to go to any primary school in New Zealand currently and do a survey. And I would imagine you would get somewhere between 50 and 100% of the children have some level of chronic health issue. And this has really only happened in the last 20, 25 years. And diets haven't really changed that much. We have a lot of other issues. There is more chemicals and things like that. But one of the overriding things that has really changed is that the electromagnetic spectrum around us has changed very radically. And I firmly believe that this is one of the major contributors to our decreasing health, and especially it's very, very evident in children.
This is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I am Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. In the studio this morning, I have Paul Wardell. He's an Aucklander who has recently shifted away from Auckland to be able to get away from the electro pollution that permeates everything. And I just want to say, Paul, you also have a website that you've put up. You don't use now, but it's www.safespace.net.nz. And I want to say kia ora and thank you for coming in this morning.
Thank you very much, Tommy. It's lovely to be here on this lovely day in Auckland.
Yes, well, we're dealing with the invisible, Paul. And up until around about 1800s, our planet lived in nature's paradise, freely in our biological energy field. And
yep,
everything seemed to work okay. And then along came people like Marconi and Nikola Tesla and Bose and a few others, and we started to become aware of an electrical field and an electrical universe.
Correct, and you're right. Prior to that time, I think lightning is somewhere around about 20 kilohertz, and so we had human biology and the Schumann resonance, roughly 7.83 cycles per second of the planet. And if people are removed from that, like astronauts, they get very sick. So we need to have contact with the planet, the Schumann resonance. And so it was us, our own biological frequencies, and the frequencies of the other living beings and biology. And then at about 20 kilohertz is lightning. And then from there, all the way up to visible light, there was nothing. And we have now almost completely filled up that frequency space with artificial, mostly digital, signals.
Yeah, so again, we lived actually in a paradise. And in those days too, dolphins and whales lived in a paradise, and it wasn't till the coming of the electrical world with sonar and all the rest that the biological world of today, all biota within the biosphere, is now starting to experience all this electricity and wireless and everything else that's come from so-called the later stage of the scientific revolution.
Correct, and there's lots of, I guess I'd call it modern myths, that AC electricity is completely safe. I would debate this very heatedly.
Alternative current, when you say that.
Alternative current.
Yes.
What we have in the electrical wires within our homes. And also the microwave radiation, that's really been the last 20, 25 years. We've been starting to be inundated with this. And I'm 62, and I can recall being back at school, and we had very, very few of the kids at school had chronic health issues. You had a couple of guys that might have an asthma inhaler after a run around the paddock. But generally, there weren't the chronic health issues. And I would challenge anybody to go to any primary school in New Zealand currently and do a survey. And I would imagine you would get somewhere between 50 and 100% of the children have some level of chronic health issue. And this has really only happened in the last 20, 25 years. And diets haven't really changed that much. We have a lot of other issues. There is more chemicals and things like that. But one of the overriding things that has really changed is that the electromagnetic spectrum around us has changed very radically. And I firmly believe that this is one of the major contributors to our decreasing health, and especially it's very, very evident in children. And if I can give an example, I think of one house that I was called in to measure as an electro pollution consultant, and the people were concerned because they had high voltage overhead power lines about 50 metres away from the house, and this was a concern.
It was, it is.
Yeah, it was 50,000 volts, but using the meter, by the time I got back to the boundary of their property, we were back to one milligauss, which is the building biology and ecology guideline has been the top end of the limit. By the time we got back to their house, it was okay. And then I spoke more with the lady that had called me in, and she said, well, we have a one-year-old and a three-year-old, and I've just been told that I should get my three-year-old assessed for behavioural issues. And I was like, well, okay, all right, let's just see what else I find in the house. And first thing was we found some Wi-Fi downstairs, and so we could turn that off at the computer and at the router and connect things by cable. So that was, we could eliminate that. That was very good. But all of the bedrooms are upstairs, and the three-year-old, his bedroom was a complete case in point. It's a two-story house, so there's a lot of electrical wiring in the mid-floor area between the floor and the ceiling. And so we're getting lots and lots of electric fields. So the body voltage measured upstairs, which is the electric field part of the measurements I would do, was about 12 volts, and I couldn't sleep in 12 volts. That would really bug me. I'm relatively electrosensitive myself, and building biology and ecology guidelines are roughly about half a volt, so you want to be less than half a volt AC, especially where you sleep. So this little boy's in 12 volts, which would be very, very disruptive. There was a Rinnai hot water heater right immediately behind where his head was and when he was lying in bed. Very big magnetic fields from the solenoids and the actuation of that, probably 20 times more than what I would think is acceptable for sleeping. The dirty electricity in the house at times went off scale on the meter that I had. It was very, very high at times, not always, but we couldn't really pinpoint what that was, so I think it was something that was coming in on the electrical supply. And then because these kids didn't sleep through the night, they would wake two, three, four times a night, generally at least three or four times a night. And the parents had put in wireless video baby monitors. And when I put the high frequency meter where this child's head would be, the meter just went off scale. And so the wife was there, and she was looking quite freaked by this stage. And she said, well, okay, what do I do? I said, well, okay, the first thing is let's get rid of these video monitors. And then we worked out what circuits in the circuit board they could turn off at night for sleeping. You need to leave the refrigerator, the power to the refrigerator. And they had an alarm system, so we had to leave that circuit on. But I said, okay, let's try for the next week. When you go to bed at night, turn off all of the circuit breakers, but just leave those two on. And 3 days later, I had a phone call from the husband, and I hadn't met him. And I'll never forget what he said to me. One of the first things he said to me is, our children are angels.
Yes.
And what had happened was that just by removing the dirty electricity, or virtually all of those things, because we'd turned off everything and we got rid of the microwave radiation from the wireless video monitors, he said that from the very first night the kids slept right through, their personalities had completely changed. They were just back to being lovely, beautiful children. And I always think back on this. It's an example I give quite often. This was probably about a 6 or 7 year old house built to complete the normal standards, and yet no recognition whatsoever of the biology of the person. And this is where the building biology and ecology, probably the best prescription for building a safe house biologically. And we have a lot of emphasis today on eco. We see constantly people talking about, oh, we're building this eco house, or we've got this eco thing. I really hate to say this, but everything that is eco is, in general terms, biologically not great.
And I hear you.
The eco, to me, stands for economical, because all they're doing is all these Energy Star ratings, and all they're looking at is how can we save money. And the way that they're looking at doing that is by having, well, originally it was the CFL light bulbs, and they are horrible. They are
CFL?
Compact fluorescent. And now we've migrated on to LEDs, and LED bulbs I find personally, I don't cope with being around them, and I'm my own little freak out session just recently. We've, as Tim said, we've moved up towards Warkworth, and where I'm trying to build a very nice, biologically safe house. And looking at the lighting, I went to try and buy lighting for the house, and it's almost impossible to buy anything other than LED lights.
Yeah, this is a huge problem.
This is a massive problem, because I can't live in a house with LED lights long term. I couldn't cope with that. So any of you people that are out there, if this is resonating with you, what I would say to you is that over the next short period of time, go out and buy a lifetime supply of incandescent light bulbs, because that's what I will be doing.
Because one of the things, from what I gather, there's a lack of the colour spectrum, or something wrong with the spectrum within the LED.
There is. Even the warm-coloured LEDs, because you get warm daylight or the white light, the colour spectrum's not great. Typically, even, it doesn't matter what the colour spectrum is, it always tends towards the blue, because the way LED lights make their colour is by a combination of three colours to make white. White's not a native colour for an LED, and it tends towards the blue. But more importantly, from my personal perspective, is that there has to be a power supply, because the little LEDs run on DC voltage.
Direct current.
Direct current. And we're incredibly electrical in our own bodies. We're very, very electrical, much, much more so than doctors and the conventional medical system give us credit for.
I agree.
And so what these LED light bulbs have is they have a little power supply in them which takes the alternating current, the AC, 240 volt, 50 cycles per second alternating current, and chops it up and converts it to a 45 or 12 volt DC voltage. And that then is fed into the LED for it to glow. But what happens is every time you turn power on and off, you create a transient voltage, which is a tiny little millivoltage, but these power supplies run at something like 20,000 times per second, and so every one of those little power supplies is oscillating at that kind of frequency, 20,000 little transient voltages every second. And if you get sufficient transient voltages, you then get a harmonic frequency. And Dave Stetzer is one of the key people in this area in the States, and I've met Dave. And
again, his name?
Dave Stetzer.
Okay.
Yep. And he sort of revolutionized this whole area of dirty electricity. Him and Dr. Martin Graham invented a meter, a very simple little meter that you can measure. And the measurement unit is actually a GS unit, which stands for Graham and Stetzer, which are these two guys. And often going into a house that's got LED lights, if I plug in a GS meter, sometimes it'll just go off scale. And these harmonic frequencies really, really bug people.
Okay, this is really important. What is it, children, or is it adults, or is it full spectrum?
Oh, everybody.
Yes?
Just some people are more sensitive. All of these things affect everybody. A lot of people go, I don't feel it, so it's not affecting me, it's not doing anything to me. But at a biological level, everybody is being affected by this. You can't not be affected, because we're electric.
Yes.
And all of these, especially these digital electronics that are surrounding us, they all affect us in a very negative way. And what typically I think happens is, just in a very broad general sense, is that these harmonic frequencies gradually reduce our ability to...
Our immunity system.
Our immune system, that's what I'm really looking for. It gradually decreases our immune system over a long period of time. And I think what we're starting to see is that people are getting sicker earlier.
Yes.
And we're also seeing a lot of people that are starting to become electrosensitive, having bad reactions to all this stuff. It's not, you know, it kind of starts with, if you're the person that sits in front of a computer all day in your office, at the end of the day, you come out and you feel like you've been absolutely wrung out. That's kind of a minimal reaction, but everybody takes that as just being standard. It's like, oh, I've just had a shit day in the office.
Yeah.
But the reality is, you know, you may have electrical cables under your desk, and your feet on electrical cables. So instead of having a couple of volts around you, you might even be up to 10 or 20 or 30 volts through your body, which is very, very negative to your health. And, you know, these things gradually wear away at your immune system. And it's not until at some point, I think everybody that's electrosensitive or to some degree is aware of electrosensitivity will get to the point where they say, oh, there was a tipping point. So something that really just tipped me over, and I know there's been a couple for me. One time that really, really, really did a number on me, we were on holiday in Hawaii, and we stayed at this, like a Airbnb type place, but these guys, they had very, very strong Wi-Fi, and they also had solar power on the roof. And again, this is something I absolutely don't recommend people have, is solar power.
No kidding.
No, I'm really, really not kidding. The idea of solar power, I think, is magic. It's like free energy from the sun, but we haven't developed it sufficiently to the point where it's biologically safe.
I didn't know that.
And it's in the inverter. The inverter is actually, yes, is more the issue.
Okay.
And the inverter puts out massive amounts of dirty electricity, huge amounts of these harmonic frequencies, and
stepping it down, is it, or stepping it up?
Well, it's recombining it and combining it.
Thank you.
And so what it does is it again at 20,000 or 30,000 times a second, it chops up this power, but it's starting at very high voltages. Because a decent-sized solar array might have 600 or 700 volts DC coming into it. And then, you know, you've got some fairly serious current in there, and it's being chopped up and recombined to make an AC voltage. And when I've, in the past, when I've spoken with electrical engineers and people that are into the whole solar thing, they say, oh, but our sine wave is very, very clean. In other words, they're chopping apart and recombining is so accurate and
sophisticated.
And sophisticated would be the word, I guess, is that the sine wave that they generate does look very, very clean, but it's not until you take away the 50 hertz sine wave and look at the hash and the rubbish that's left behind, which is all these transient frequencies and the harmonic frequencies that are left behind, and this is what really, really harms people.
Okay, now you've taken us through a whole lot of stuff, because essentially what we're in the middle of some gigantic multi microwave oven, and we've been hit by all sorts of waves. And you also mentioned that nature, our planet, has a sine wave, mm-hmm, and yet technology has a different type of wave, as a square wave, as against a nice flowing wave that you would like to see at the beach or on a sea, say.
That's right. And what's happening with all this technology, the way that the information is, like, we're really starting to talk more about microwave radiation now and radio frequency, and the way the information is imparted to the carrier wave, and this is where it gets quite technical. Unfortunately, it can be difficult for people to sort of grasp this, but the carrier wave is the frequency that people talk about. You often hear people talk about, oh, you know, it's 750 megahertz, or it's 2.6 gigahertz, or these are the connection frequencies.
And everybody turns off. Yep.
But what's happening underneath that is that the data is being applied to that frequency by being pulsed and modulated. And the pulsing is basically turning off and on. So instead of having a nice sine wave that we see in nature
flowing,
yep, and we have in our bodies and our own frequencies, this is a square wave, so it's very choppy. It's off, up a little bit, then on, then up, off, on, off, on.
And a square wave, listeners, this is what we're dealing with. It's very important for us to know this information, Paul.
Yep, and a square wave is completely unavailable in nature.
Thank you.
And our biology doesn't know what to do with a square wave and these pulsed frequencies. And I remember talking to Dave Stetzer quite a few years ago now, and he was actually invited to go to Russia to consult to the Russian health department on dirty electricity. And he ended up talking to some weapons scientists, which was quite amazing, I think.
Some synchronicity happened there.
And he was talking to them about microwave radiation. They said, yeah, in our tests, it wasn't until we started pulsing it, until we started really killing the rats. And this is the thing, it's like a straight carrier frequency, which is what you get in a microwave oven, is not quite so toxic. A microwave oven is toxic, please believe me, it is, because of the sheer strength of the magnetron that's in there and the poor shielding that's around it. Please don't ever stand within 10 meters of a microwave oven that's going.
I've never bought one in my life.
And but you know, it's interesting. It's this pulsing and modulation frequency, which actually is the most harmful thing. And as we've gone up through the generations of phones, from 1G to 2G to 3G to 4G, and we're now touching on 5G, what's happened is that they've got more and more and more sophisticated in how they pulse and modulate these frequencies. And they've had to do that to be able to carry the huge amount of data that they can now ship through the airwaves. And by doing this, the effect on the biology has been getting gradually stronger and stronger and stronger, and worse for us as a human race, but also as animals and the whole biosphere. The plants are affected.
Trees,
absolutely, yeah. Absolutely.
So essentially, this huge increase in knowledge and technical power is happening, but it's not being conveyed to us, the biological rats.
quite correct, we are.
And this is where the battle lines are at the moment.
Yes, absolutely.
There are some very important groups of people coming together looking at technology and its impact on the biological system of planet Earth.
Yep.
And so, listeners, please stay with us, because it's important if you want to be a healthy being and having a fulfilled life.
Yep, and you really touched on something very important there. If we go back to how this whole microwave standard and how it was all developed, you know, if we go back to the Second World War, where radar was just beginning and it played a huge part in, I guess, what we'd say the Western Alliance winning the war, because it made a huge difference. But the guys who were operating the radar started getting very, very sick, and this is not the first case of electrosensitivity. Actually, the first case of electrosensitivity was back in the 1800s when they started having telegraph along the railway lines, and some of the telegraph operators used to get sick. And that was some of the first cases of electrosensitivity. And then when we had the old exchanges for the telephone, where the women used to sit there and plug the wires in,
yeah,
some of them used to get sick as well. And so we've had electrosensitivity as long as we've had this. It's not something new, but it's because we're getting exposed to it more and more and more, we're getting more and more people becoming electrosensitive. But carrying on with where I was sort of going with this whole military thing, was that in the 1950s, after the Second World War, the Russians said, hold on, this is quite harmful, and they went one direction. The American military complex said, no, we need to have these frequencies and the strength of frequency to power up our military communications and weapons. And so there's quite a debate between the two countries, and even today the Russian standards are 100 times less than the worldwide standards, and China as well, to be honest.
Which means better.
Which means better, absolutely. Less is better in this instance. And so, you know, two countries that are probably not renowned for human rights actually have far more stringent safety guidelines for their population than we do, by a factor of 100 at least. And so at that time, the American military was struggling to try and justify what it was doing, and they came across some very relatively flawed science where one physicist worked out that application of microwave oven or microwave frequencies to the body would only cause a thermal effect or heating effect. And they sort of latched onto this, knowing full well that it wasn't the full picture. But they said, okay, this is what we will base our standards around, yes, this thermal effect.
Cunning.
Very cunning. And so this has become dogma. It's become science dogma, and that's what our government and the health department, the
World Health Organization.
World Health Organization. I mean, it's so crooked and bent. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
And this is what our government bases our exposure on as well. I think also, and if you look at the multi-government agency that is responsible for the response to what's happening in the world to this stuff, there is not a single biologist or anybody on that agency that has any understanding whatsoever about biology.
No medical doctor.
No, well, even beyond that, you know, it's not even a medical doctor, but there are thousands and thousands of studies showing that there is a biological effect. You know, I mean, there was a declassified document. I think it was Dr. Zoran Glazer was the guy's name. And he did a study in the 1960s, and it was for the U.S. Navy. And at that time, he had 120 biological effects from electricity and microwave radiation. And so, you know, they can't, nobody can say that there is no effect, because even the U.S. military back in the 1960s absolutely knew that there was effect. And this is everything from degeneration of eyes to digestive problems to heart problems to, you know, it was very extensive, to cancer and all these things. So, but what then happened was the U.S. military decided that, yes, this thermal standard suits us very well, and so that became dogma, and anything that was in any way to do with any other testing for biological was basically shut down. In America, there hasn't been any government testing of towards biology of humans in regard to these issues for probably 30 or 40 years in any serious way.
The Environmental Protection Agency in America is known for being corrupt,
yes,
and having people who formerly in corporations come and work for them so that they could then change the direction of anybody,
yes,
and to make it easier for the corporates to put in power.
And the other governing body, which is tied to the World Health Organization, ICNIRP, the International Commission for Non-Ionizing Radiation Protection, is exactly the same. You have to be invited to be part of ICNIRP.
Old boys network.
Absolutely, and it's just the industry cycles in and out of it. It's the top people in the industry cycle in and out of it. And again, they stick to this dogma of the thermal effect, no biological effect whatsoever. And, you know, going back to this US military in the 1950s and 1960s, there would have never, ever have been any concept whatsoever that this would have been commercialized. This was purely a military specification for military weapons. Okay, and somewhere along the line, our technological advances have come to the point where they've said, okay, this is standard. We can now make consumer devices based around a military standard. And I mean, to me, it's absolutely mind-blowing that this has happened. If you took almost any device that transmits today and you had to submit that as a brand new device to go through a testing regime to see whether it was safe, nothing would ever pass.
That's right.
Nothing would ever pass.
Yeah, well, I know that for natural health, people who produce organic ointments and creams and that sort of thing, it costs them tens of thousands, $50,000 to get a pass.
Yes.
But the electrical people can just ram everything through.
Absolutely.
Without any concern whatsoever.
I mean, I was reading an email today from a company that I know of in Canada called SOTA, S-O-T-A, and they make therapeutic devices based around electricity. They do light devices and magnetic pulses and some really quite interesting stuff for health.
Yes.
And the Canadian government is just basically shutting them down because they are no longer a consumer item. They're now a medical device. And as a medical device, they have to spend a gazillion dollars to get them tested for safety and all the rest of it. And they're just a small company. So basically, they're just being shut down.
That's right. And well, this is the name of a game.
Mm.
The big techs and the big corporations want all the smaller operators of all sorts of industries in the world put out of business.
Absolutely.
And it's just the corporates playing the big game.
Yep. And so, you know, so we now have this military standard that we've got consumer devices built around, and we have people in New Zealand, you know, we have cell phone companies and they basically say to us, oh, you know, how can this be so strong? It's only 0.0001% of the standard. So that can't, obviously, because it's such a low percentage, it can't harm you. But when the standard is so badly flawed, you know, to give you an example, again, I'm a building biologist, and so the building biology and ecology guideline is slight concern at 10 microwatts per square meter and significant concern of 1,000 microwatts per square metre. The New Zealand standard is 10 million microwatts per square metre. And so, you know, for me, if I was going to some person's home and testing, I would like to see less than 10 microwatts per square metre, especially in their bedroom. And I always used to try and aim towards 100 microwatts in living areas. I went out with some guys out there. I hadn't done testing of cell towers for a long time. And we were getting up, in one instance, in a residential area, we were getting 200,000 microwatts per square metre in a residential area. This is outrageous. That's two times the Russian standard.
I'm speaking with Paul Wardell on electromagnetic hypersensitivity, dirty electricity, and all things related to wireless 5G and the challenges ahead of us and dealing with invisible energies that we are unable to see. Well, we see we're talking with Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. We're talking about smart cities, having everybody come into smart cities. And so what it is if you're in the CBD, the Central Business District, in the main part or the central part of town or city, if you live right in the heart of, say, Queen Street and the commercial sector in New Zealand, or in Auckland, the people are going to be cooked, won't they?
Well, I struggle to spend time in downtown Auckland now. It's very difficult. I haven't checked lately, but, I mean, 5 years ago probably, there was about 400 cell towers within a 500 cell towers within a 1 kilometre radius of Sky City. I mean, Sky City is the biggest generator of microwave radiation, bar none.
It is Sky City. This program actually is beamed out of the Sky Tower as well.
Well, we have to say thank you for that, I suppose.
There has to be a benefit somewhere. So, what's happening? Dirty electricity, wireless electricity that's completely off the charts, but cunningly hidden. We're having this EMF, electromagnetic frequencies, that are causing all sorts of things like autoimmune syndrome.
Yes.
And then it may have a knock-on effect that other allergies
I'm absolutely certain. I mean, one of the things, I haven't done it for a couple of years now, but I used to do quite a bit of public speaking, and if I can remember this correctly from one of my slides, about 1970, autism in America was about 1 in 10,000. And then when autism started becoming more prevalent, it was recognized as a rich white person's disease in America. It was very, very distinctly a rich white person's disease, autism, the significant rise in autism. And I think it was in about the 1990s, it was about 1 in 1,000, and then, you know, a few years ago, about 5 or 6 years ago, it was 1 in 50 children with autism, and now they're trending down towards 1 in 25, born somewhere on the autistic spectrum. And you've got to think, well, what's changed in that time? And the thing that's really changed rapidly in that time is cellular networks and microwave radiation, Wi-Fi. And it was really interesting that when they classified it early on as a rich white person's disease, it was kind of, well, they started looking at, could it be an environmental toxin, or could it be, they looked at all kinds of things, you know, older dad syndrome, you know, they looked at many, many different things. And then some research came out that was indicating that over 80% of the autistic characteristic came from damaged male DNA. And then a little bit carried on, and this is over a number of years, and then all of a sudden these studies started coming out showing that sperm was very badly damaged, both motility and viability, from people or men having laptops in their lap with the Wi-Fi on. And to me it's like, it's pretty straightforward and simple really. What's the biggest transmitter of microwave radiation the closest to the male reproductive equipment? It's just your cell phone in your front pocket.
Yes.
And I really do think that this has probably been the major contributor to this massive increase in autism.
Well, all I do know at the moment is that our national health system and our hospitals are under more increasing pressure. I mean, I think last budget was over $25 billion for a country with less than 5 million people. And, I mean, I eat healthy, and so consequently I don't go to hospital, but there's so many people. And this is the other thing, too, is that the water and the food chain and all that sort of thing. Well, everything is a conglomeration of the adulteration of...
It's certainly a synergistic thing, absolutely. But I guess from my perspective, I think one of the most effective things at causing autism and all these other chronic health issues is this rapid increase in microwave radiation. And it's only been the last 25 years since it started. And, you know, when I was at school, I'm 62, when I was at school, we had very, very little chronic health issues with all the kids that I was at school with. It was, you know, you might get the odd guy that had aspirin inhaler if they went for a run or something like that, it just wasn't like that.
Well, I know, I'm 72, and again, in my day, we didn't have hardly any. And so the intensification now is happening, and there is no agency, and an independent agency calling it out.
Absolutely not. And this is where we go back to these military standards and this thermal standard. This is the real danger, is that there is nobody challenging this. It's so intrinsically linked with everything. If you talk to the Ministry of Education or the Ministry of Health or any of the government bodies about this, they're like, oh, how could it possibly be that? Because we've had it for so long and it's just accepted that it's completely safe. You know, Wi-Fi in schools, there's nothing wrong with that. It's completely safe. You know, the World Health Organization tells us so. And ICNIRB tells us so. And it's just like, well, wake up. You know, really, wake up. And diets haven't changed that much. I mean, you know, back in the 50s and 60s and 70s, diets weren't that great for a lot of people either. There are some things that have changed. I don't really want to get into the vaccination thing, but I think that's a fairly big issue.
We'll leave that to Robert Kennedy Jr. Yes. He's taking care of that one at the moment.
Magic. But all of these things, you know, light pollution we were talking about, you know, the amount of light that we have in our cities now so people can't get a good sleep. It's really, really critical that you sleep in a very, very dark room so that you get good melatonin production. And that, you know, all the rhythms of our body work correctly. And yet electropollution is just another form of, or light is a form of EMF as well. It's just the higher frequency. So, you know, it's all of these things are completely interconnected, and we don't make the connection, unfortunately. You know, 2020 hindsight is going to be too late for a lot of people. It really is.
Yeah, well, complacency in New Zealand has been increasing more and more, and we're also laziness of mind. We're not questioning anything. The curiosity has gone out the door, and there's so many things that here we are. We're in basically a paradise of a country, a fantastic country, and we're becoming more and more like distracted hobbits.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, one of the effects of electrosensitivity for me personally is that if I get a bit zapped by something, if I'm around a whole lot of fluorescent tubes or LED lights, or there's Wi-Fi on, or I'm near a cell tower too much, or something like this, is that my ability to think clearly diminishes. And I think this is a very subtle net effect across the whole population as well, because the more we get bombarded by this stuff, the less ability we have to actually think clearly about what's around us, or just basically just think clearly. It dulls our minds and it reduces our immune system.
Cynical people would turn around and say, oh, this is just part of the process of dumbing us all down, Paul.
Well, I don't think it's a conscious thing, but I think it's an absolute net effect to being surrounded by this stuff. I used to be I've done a few things in my working career, but at one point I was a fairly senior level IT person, and I can remember, you know, if you spend too long in the big server rooms and that, you know, with all this stuff humming away, I never felt great coming out of that. And it's just you know, we have people, and as technology becomes more ubiquitous around all of our daily jobs, we're just being exposed to all these harmonic frequencies, and so I think it does, it just has a overall effect of slowing down our ability to react. And I mean, also we have these social circumstances where, you know, we go back 30, 40, 50 years, it was, you know, I don't want this to sound sexist or whatever, but it's like the guy went to work and the wife stayed home and looked after the children.
Yes.
That's not possible anymore. It just really isn't. And we have this social conditioning forced upon us about where both parents have to work, and so children have to go into daycare, and then they get exposed to a lot of stuff, and they don't get, you know, the love and cuddles and things that they should really be getting. I mean, this is a whole different...
I know, but it's all part of this whole thing that we're breakup of the family unit.
Yes.
I think this is a huge, huge one. It's not been discussed, and there's lots and lots of stuff around us that we have to get to grips with, and because we don't realise it, that we are in the fourth industrial revolution. And people say, fourth industrial revolution, what's that? And this is the, shall we say, the wireless revolution, where everything is connected.
Well, it's the digital revolution, really.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the children that are growing up today, it's like they've never not had internet. I can remember when there wasn't internet, and then gradually getting computers, and then it was the dial-up modems, and then when Wi-Fi came along, it's like, wow, what a cool thing. And you know, we always used to turn it off. We'd turn it on to use it and turn it off again, because I just, you know, we wouldn't have it on at night. It's, everybody has data on their phones now and Bluetooth. It's just like, I personally couldn't cope with that. It's just too strong for me.
Yeah, I won't have Bluetooth either. I mean, I remember it was 10 before we heard about TV, and it was about 12 when I actually saw one. And prior to that, we used to have, our telephone used to be in Morse. Mm. We used to connect us with, the ring used to come through in a Morse code. Mm. Things have rapidly happened, and yep, those who have not experienced it know better.
Exactly, and things have moved so fast, technology is moving so fast, that the children of today really know no different. And well, in some ways I despair, because there isn't a benchmark or something you compare this to. It's like even electricity, you know, I as part of I'm building a nice, biologically nice home for myself at the moment, and part of what I'm doing is I'm limiting the amount of electricity that is going to be on. At night time there'll be two switches or one switch that we can throw, and it's basically going to drop all the electricity out of the house, and we'll sleep very nicely. And the internet, we turn it on remotely when we want to use it, and then we'll turn it off again. It won't be on all the time.
And smart meters?
We don't have a smart meter, fortunately, but again, it's smart meters is a very big topic, and I really disagree with them. And one of the things, talking about this whole new, where we're going with all this, is that I think there's quite a battle between the telcos and the power companies as to who's going to own the gateway to the home. And one of the scary things is that smart meters can hold more than one modem. And what I mean by that is, at the moment, they have one modem that talks to the back to the power company to tell you your usage, but they also have ability to have a Zigbee modem. And a Zigbee modem is the one that talks to all your smart appliances. And, you know, with the new millimeter wave 5G that's coming, we don't have it yet, but it's coming, why would they not put a 5G modem in every smart meter and make your home the hub, or the smart meter, the hub of communication with the home? And so then the power company then owns the access to the home, not the telco. And you can see this happening. You've got power companies that do these big bundles. It's like, you know, you get your phone and internet and your power together. They're struggling for their viability, and then you've got the telco saying, oh, you know, you have endless data and all this kind of stuff. You know, but the scary thing to me is the smart meter could end up being that hub, and instead of having 5G millimeter wave transmitters on every second lamppost, we may actually get them even closer. We may get them in every single home. And that, to me, would be very scary.
You've woken me up to that one, Paul. Boy, I didn't realise that they had were working at that particular level. And so, yes, these are the issues. And so I'm calling listeners. This is really important. I did an interview with a guy called Ray Broomhall out of Australia, a barrister, 6 weeks ago, and he talked about how they're going to be putting 40,000 satellites up around our planet.
Oh, yes.
And these satellites, they're going to be raking the surface of the Earth, you and me and your children and your pets and the insects and the trees and everything. They're going to be affecting us. But he's also talking about they're looking at having a big sort of flying wing situated above every city.
Mm.
And they're able to not only download energy for smartphones as well. This is huge. So have a look, people.
Geosynchronous orbits.
Yeah, all this is going on. And if you want to just sit at night there and turn on the TV and go to sleep in front of it, be hypnotized in front of it, it's important. This is a wake-up time, and this is an election issue.
I mean, the other thing about, there's a secondary issue about these satellites going up into space, is that the amount of ozone destroyed by every rocket launch is huge. And this is not talked about at all by anybody. But you know, the number of rockets that are required to put those 50 or 60,000 satellites in space to blanket us could do more irreparable harm to the ozone layer than almost anything we've experienced ever before. So there are multi-layers to all of these things. There really are.
I hear you. Rocket Lab down in Mahia need to get into electromagnetic propulsion, or at least be able to get into some new methods other than burning off oxygen. So there are many things now. So, Paul, I'm involved with a number of people and groups of people with the 5G network.
Mm.
We are pushing back all the time. We still have not been able to get public participation.
Yep.
And the public have to realize if they are wanting the health of their self, including their children, their loved ones and everybody else, we need to get real, real aware. Can you tell us what some of the main triggers you think are important?
Yep. I think the one thing is the advertising message that we're getting at the moment from Vodafone and Spark is that we've now got 5G and it's completely safe and it's all wonderful and it's going to make the boat go faster and we can do operations remotely and all the rest of it. So, but what we have at the moment is really 4¾ G.
So this is a cunning, they're softening us up?
They are a little bit softening us up. They're calling it 5G, and it is different than 4G in that, you know, one of the things that's different is that the bandwidth of the signal has increased from 5 megahertz to 100 megahertz, so they can actually carry 20 times more data, and this is where we get the phenomenal speed. But there's only a certain number of connections they can have per tower, so that means that potentially we might need to have 20 times more cell towers for the same number of connections. And you know, the speeds they're talking about, you can burn your couple of gigabytes in about a minute at the speeds they're talking about. You know, so you know, who's going to pay a lot of money for, you know, data, and even the endless data things, it's like it's capped after a certain amount. So I don't get why they're really forcing this high speed on us. And you know, when the second stage of 5G, which I think is what most of the activists and people are talking about, is what they term millimeter wave. And this is where we start getting the carrier frequency, which is going to be in the 20 to 30 to 40 gigahertz, which is something we haven't seen so much out in the real world. But when you look at a cell tower at the moment, if you see any of these round dishes, they're point-to-point communication dishes, most of those, I believe, actually do run at millimeter wave, but they're not directed at people, they're directed tower to tower, so I don't think we're seeing much health issue or health impact, unless you're a bird flying through the beam, you're probably not going to get too much. But once they start directing these millimeter wave devices at people, there's a whole new technology coming in where they're talking about beam shaping and and focus beams. And so what they can do with the stuff now, those focused array antennas, is that because as you go up in the frequency, the carrier frequency, it penetrates less, so it won't go through buildings or trees. And so we're going to start seeing cities denuded of trees so that they can, you know, they can have this technology. And please, people, if you start seeing people cutting down trees in your cities, it's like, you know, why are you doing this? Because there are some cities in Europe where I've seen, I think, on YouTube and other places where they've just wholesale been chopping down all the trees in the city so they can increase their communication capabilities. And, I mean, in a place like New Zealand, oh, I would absolutely hate to see that. But this millimeter wave technology, it's absolutely 100% unproven. There, Darius Lozinski, who's a professor who was here on a speaking tour about a year ago.
He was interviewed here on Greenbound FM by Lisa Eyre.
And I think at that time he was saying that there was two or three research papers on the effects of millimeter wave. We have no idea what it will do, apart from the fact that we know that the military uses it as a weapon. And this whole weaponizing of the stuff is very, very scary. The millimeter wave only penetrates into the top layer of the dermis or the skin, and so the effect is it burns or it can have skin effect. And I mean, our skin is our largest organ of elimination from it, just purely from a health perspective. If we start messing around with what's happening on our skin, we could end up with massive amounts of health issues. And again, it's going back to we've started with a military standard in the 1950s, and all of these new devices have been grandfathered in, saying this is only just a slight incremental change on what's there. This millimeter wave stuff is not an incremental change. It's a whole new technology. It's a massive increase in the carrier frequency. It's something that we don't even have research to know what it's possibly going to do, apart from the military, who, as I say, have absolutely developed crowd control weapons and various other weapons with this kind of frequency. And also, it's the frequency that the satellites will beam down to Earth as well. It's going to be in the millimeter wave range. So, you know, if we have 50 or 60,000 satellites up there, they will be tight beam controlled communications down to an individual device. Now, if you're holding that device, you're in that tight beam. And it's the thing that people have to understand. It's like what you're holding is probably the worst thing that's happening around you.
Gosh, okay, we've got 2 minutes to go. Now, one of the things that why the frantic hurry to deploy it? This is what we're doing okay as the world at the moment with enough communication technology. It's the communication of lies that the media are actually expressing that's actually corrupting our society.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea what the rush is. I mean, they talk about driverless cars and all these wonderful things, but I mean, I'm an engineer by trade, and the thing that goes wrong with modern cars mostly is the electronics. It's like, I wouldn't trust a car electronics, put my life on it, from that perspective of not being able to control it personally. And I think we've got a long way to go before anything like that. So I really don't get what the big rush is to push this through, but there's definitely some agenda happening somewhere.
Well, there's groups around New Zealand. Go to www.5g.org.nz. There's a lot of information there.
I'd really, really encourage people to, you know, try and understand what's happening. You know, go to some of these websites, read some opinions and views other than the mainstream. It's all right, mate, and you'll be good. That we get from the government and all these people, you know, try and educate yourself. Don't bury your head in the sand on this one, because I think it's really important. Even 8 or 10 years ago, some of the leading scientists in this area were saying that this is the biggest uncontrolled experiment on humanity ever, and this was before we had 5G and before we had all this incredible ramping up of exposure. So try to find some good authoritative sources. Called the Bioinitiative Report is a very good place to start. That's very, very credible scientists who are trying to have a voice on what this is all about.
The Bioinitiative
Report.
Report, okay.
Yeah, it can be downloaded. You can read it online. But it's a group of, I think it was about 270 world-renowned scientists who got together and said and produced this massive big document for the European Parliament saying, we believe that this is a significant health issue and we present this to you as a document to consider. And it's actually been two iterations now. The second iteration has actually significantly improved or increased the knowledge on the first one. It's a big document to read, but please try and find some sources.
I don't want them to try. Just do it.
Find some sources to get some information. There are some good websites that are starting to pop up in New Zealand about 5G. Don't believe what the politicians are telling us. It's not, everything is not okay. There is definite issues here, and there are significant health issues that you should be aware of for yourself and your families.
Yeah, turn off your TV. Just turn off your television, really. But, Paul, I want to say thank you so much for coming in and giving of your expertise and your knowledge and the backstory on a lot of things. We have to really, really become conscious Kiwis. Mm. Conscious Kiwis. And get off, look at things from a higher perspective.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Paul, thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. It was good.
Okay. I'll get you back sometime because there's plenty of other things that I want to be able to talk about.
Absolutely.
That was Paul Wardell, safespace.net.nz. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send. And remember, even Facebook. To tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it. Spread it. Radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies, but of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. And become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM, and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch, in the spirit of Aroha, wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward to being with you next week. I say kia kaha and haere rā. Dream.